Good morning and welcome to the Lodestar podcast news in brief. I hope everyone has had a good weekend, and if you're in the UK, you will have had a long weekend, which is lovely, but it probably means you need some extra help getting started with the working week, and that is exactly why we are here. We are going to be giving you a recap of all the main stories from last week's supply chain news and giving you some previews of what you might see on the Lodestar this week. It is news in brief, and we're going to be doing exactly what it says on the tin. We're going to be doing it very briefly. So we're going to get stuck straight into the episode. And for the last few weeks, we've seen ocean freight rates rising quite steadily. Did last week follow the trend, Gav?
Yes. Yep. Another week of rising rates. In fact, the rise is getting steeper. The trades that have been particularly affected by this over the last 2 to 3 weeks have been the Asia-Europe trades to North Europe and Mediterranean. Oh, here we go, a bit of numbers. So the Shanghai-Rotterdam leg of Drury's WCI was up 20% week on week to finish at $4,999 per 40 foot. But actually, to be honest, people are paying a lot more than this. We're hearing that people are sort of starting to be quoted $6,000, $7,500 mark, and some carriers are predicting that it could go up to $10,000 per 40
foot. Wow, those numbers are crazy. So one of our listeners actually sent me a message after last week's episode saying that they had heard that rates are going to taper downward in July. Is this something that you've heard? I mean, how long are these high rates going to last?
That sounds like very much a sort of issue of hope over experience, doesn't right. it? It's so hard to tell because we don't actually know what's driving the current demand spike. Is it an early peak season? If it's an early peak season, then you might start looking at rates tapering down in September. But the other people that I've been speaking to foresee this possibly lasting out for the remainder of the year.
Well, one of our most read stories last week was about the container shortages. So obviously people are quite worried about this and they want to know more. Is this container shortage something that's contributing to the high rates? And where are we seeing container shortages?
Okay, so yes, it is, yeah. And what happens is that container shortages, port congestion, schedule reliability are all parts of the same sort of knotty problem. So I'll just, if it's right, if you don't, I'm just going to take a minute to
I absolutely do not mind. Model no, take
out
the floor.
Yeah, right, great. Okay, thank you. So I've prepared this. So what we've got, the Cape of Good Hope diversions means longer sailing times. That means that each container stays on the ship longer, which ultimately means more containers are needed, as well as more ships, right? Additionally, the omission of the Suez transit has meant that a whole market, the Mediterranean, the Black Sea, North Africa, that whole region has completely lost its direct coverage from the liner services. Okay. So that means you've got a really big build-up of boxes in the West Mediterranean ports, which has created port congestion there, because there they're holding up all the return of all those empty boxes, which are supposed to go back to Asia, are stuck in the Med, and that creates a shortage of boxes in Asia, which creates port congestion in Asia.
Oh my gosh.
Then that tears up schedule reliability of the ships which are now leaving Asia and are bound for Europe. And it goes on and on, a vicious circular self-fulfilling
prophecy.
Oh my
gosh, no wonder everyone's worried about it. It sounds like absolute chaos.
People are angry. Right? Peeps is pissed. Yeah, they are really. I mean, honestly, the sort of the tone of some of the messages I've been receiving, people are furious about this. Here's one little quote for you from one importer. All professional shippers understand, they totally accept that lines need an operating profit, but this flippant nonsense is no good for any party, including the lines themselves.
And these high rates, Alex, I mean, will this rate surge happen in air freight?
Well, part of the problem is that no one's entirely sure why they've gone so mental in sea freight. But I think if you look at it historically, in COVID, I did think air freight rates would get sort of stupidly high. And they did, but not in the same sort of relative comparison to sea freight, which was absurd. There were far, far fewer reports of shippers feeling ripped off in air freight than they were in sea freight. There weren't the D&D charges and so forth, which are still being argued about rather feverishly in the courts and mediation rooms at the moment. I think the airlines sort of behaved better during COVID than I was expecting, and many of them were hurting far, far worse than the shipping lines were. So my hunch is that air freight will become more competitive in relation to sea freight if sea freight continues going up like this. And that's going to boost demand. But as it's the summer season, there's a good amount of capacity out there. And I think it just may help airlines have a comfortable summer, but probably not much more than that.
And I mean, with the Red Sea, obviously we're seeing certain trade lanes boosted in terms of rates more than others. Is this the same with air?
Yeah, there are, especially at the moment, there are pockets of higher demand in air. You've just had Mother's Day in the US, so that was a lot of flam movements. Alaska Airlines, I saw, was reporting yesterday that the Copper River salmon season has started. But for many people, more important perhaps, is mango season. Everyone loves a mango. That's underway in Bangladesh and India and parts of Asia, and that adds some volumes to the market. This year's the same as most years. Subcontinental fruit farmers do struggle with exports because of the price of air freight. Air freight rates out of Bangladesh at the moment are pretty high, so it's not as economic for farmers to export their mangoes as it can be. But we did run a story this week about aircraft manufacturers, both Boeing and Airbus, are trying to flirt with Beam and Bangladesh to get them to buy freighters, which could help exporters, but it's a very long-running saga.
Well, speaking of long-running sagas, and this was another one of our most read stories last week, so I think people are worried about this as well, is the looming Canada strike. A strike was set for the 22nd of May on Canada's rail network, but this was called off following a request from the Canadian Labour Minister to the Canadian Industrial Relations Board, CIRB, from now on, to assess whether the strike could pose a threat to national safety. And the CIRB... harder to say than the longer one. The Canada Industrial Relations Board is currently examining what, if any, critical shipments must continue during a strike. Legally, a strike can't commence until the decision's been made. No one knows how long this decision's going to take. Canadian Pacific Kansas City said probably about 2 months. Negotiations can still progress while this is happening, but the union revealed last week that there's been no progress. And Canadian Pacific Kansas City actually declined to participate in negotiations last week, and there aren't any further negotiations scheduled. So that's quite worrying. And according to the union, this suggests that the train operators are clearly indicating preference for arbitration over negotiation. So it's not looking good there in terms of agreements. And unless negotiations take a drastic turn, all eyes are on the CIRB for their decision, and this is the main source of hope on preventing a strike. Has anyone got any positive news from last week?
Well, you know, Panama Canal appears now to be back up to its full capacity now that the water levels have risen. That's one sort of pressure release valve for the sort of global container supply chain. Probably worth noting, however, that, you know, you were talking about labour relations in Canada, but of course, the Panama Canal is very, very is crucial for the Asia-US East Coast trade. Well, obviously in the US East Coast, we've got the negotiations between the International Longshoremen Association, the union there, and all the East Coast port companies. Yeah. That's underway at the moment. It's due to be renewed at the end of September. So, you know, you get the Panama Canal open, brilliant, and then only a few weeks later, the docker's gone straight to the US East Coast. Brilliant.
I think there was some good news in there somewhere, yeah. Maybe. Yeah.
But actually, I mean, in seriousness, there hasn't been any sound from the employer-employee negotiations on the East Coast, which is probably a good thing.
And any positive news from air freight?
Well, yes, actually. Also in the Americas, President Biden signed the Federal Aviation Administration Reauthorization Act, which essentially gives out $105 billion over 4 years for aviation infrastructure. As everyone knows, there's been a lot of congestion in many of the larger US airports, and the hope is that this will relieve some of those issues. Brandon Freed from the Air Forwarders Association said the legislation was music to his ears, and he thinks that cargo probably needs about $4 to $6 billion of that money. So that's an upbeat end.
I've got a question for you, Charlotte.
Okay, go.
How's Brexit going?
We're trying to end this episode on a positive note, so we'll leave it there, I think. Thank you both so much for joining me.
Thanks, Charlotte.
Thank you, Charlotte.
So now you've been brought back up to speed with all the main points of supply chain news from last week. Coming up this week on the Lodestar, I'm going to be exploring what and where the impact would be if the TCRC union do initiate a strike in Canada. And I'm going to be doing this by talking to some different stakeholders across the supply chain and kind of get a range of insights on what shipping companies are planning to do to get a broader idea of where other choke points might be in the supply chain. For example, I think some companies are moving things to trucks, some companies are going to be using US rail. which might cause congestion there. And I would be really interested to hear your thoughts. So if anyone's got any insight that they think could be interesting on possible fallout of the Canada strikes, please get in touch with me at charlotte@thelodestar.com. And if you've got any insights about anything really, we're always interested in hearing what you have to say. I'm also going to be looking at Glasgow Prestwick Airport. They recently invested £2 million in new cargo equipment. So we're going to be looking at the reason behind this and what it might mean for the airport's future. You also may have followed the Lodestar series on e-commerce, where we did lots of articles looking into different aspects of the e-commerce supply chain. And we're now going to start looking at the pharmaceutical supply chain. We're going to be publishing a series of articles that provide some deeper insight into the workings of pharma supply and what pharma shippers might be looking for from their logistics network. Not sure if this is going to be next week or the week after, but we're definitely starting to look into that. So keep your eyes peeled. And I say this every week, but it is particularly prevalent at the moment. Black Swan events just keep cropping up. And Zenitor actually did a report last week on the top 10 global supply chain risks. So just to give you a rough idea of things that might come up: geopolitics, economic instability, extreme weather, procurement inefficiencies, and cyber attacks. I mean, none of those sound good. So fingers crossed you don't see that on the Lodestar this week, but with logistics, you never can tell. So keep revisiting the Lodestar and we will keep you up to date with everything you need to know. Thank you for joining me, and I will see you next week.